Good morning, everybody. Today is Monday, April 24th, 2017. And this is Before the First Cup of Jewels here on UCY.TV. Happy Monday, everyone. It is a chilly 38 degrees, but beautifully sunny and springy here in upstate New York. So I was off for about a week on a family circus. And now I understand the name of that cartoon with vacation and birthdays and family visits and holidays. But I am back now. We titled the show, our last show on Friday, Social Engineering, Peer Pressure, Personal Data, and the 21st Century Panopticon. We are going to continue down that vein during this week, but today we have a very special guest, and I am almost thinking that I might be able to hear her now, Miss April Bowden, formerly of Truth or Talk Radio. Truth or Talk aired on UCY.TV for a very long time. I still run Truth or Talk in reruns, April. I don't know if you knew that, but here she is. Good morning. Happy Monday morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me on. It's always good to talk to you.
And it's a bright and sunny 7 a.m. where you are, is it not?
It is, but I've been up since 4. I know, that sounds awful, doesn't it? It was, yeah, my daughter had me up this morning, so we've been up for a while. But, you know, I got my coffee. I decided to give up on trying to go back to bed, so I'm talking to you.
Well, and happy Monday.
Happy Monday. Way to start the week.
So, you have been very busy since you stopped doing new shows. And one of the things you and I have talked a couple times now over the last week, which has been wonderful because we haven't caught up. You have a new documentary from Ty Bollinger that you and your son Aiden were in that we were going to talk about. I watched, by the way, you dropped me that link yesterday about why you do not trust Robert Kennedy. And I think the listeners would be really interested in to kind of hear your theory on that, because I had done a show on Kennedy coming out against the meningitis vaccine that they just made mandatory now for 7th and 12th graders in New York State. And he had been up in front of the New York legislature fighting, looking at the numbers. And I mean, he had some great points. Like, I mean, we don't get much meningitis in New York. And when you look at the statistics for side effects of that vaccine versus the number of children in New York that actually end up with meningitis, there are more children damaged by side effects than there are children who actually get the disease. Right. But they passed it anyway. And I don't know, there was all kinds of shell game, underhanded stuff going on that I was able to find in local publications by reporters that have been investigating whose money was in whose pocket for this vaccine to become a mandatory part of the schooling program here in New York. So I had actually given Kennedy a cheer for that one, for at least doing something. I mean, our legislature is the same one that, you know, a couple days after Sandy Hook in the middle of the night without any public comments also passed the SAFE Act, right? You know, they have a habit of doing that here. So so this new documentary that Ty is working on, or actually it's released, right? Because there was a free screening that ended on the 19th. And I apologize for not being able to get you on. And we tried to record last week and we just had so many problems. We almost didn't get to do it today because of these issues. And by the way, chat, I'm going to say good morning, but it's not, it's telling me that it is not responding. So I can't get into chat either, it seems. But why don't you tell us a little bit about how the documentary flows? What is Ty's big push on this? And why is he, I mean, is he jumping on now the success of Vaxxed and the fact that there are some names standing behind this? And what are your thoughts about De Niro and some of the things that he said and what they're working on?
Well, Ty, actually, I mean, we had Ty on our show a couple of times, and I've known him for a while, and he had done two docuseries. He, even before he was into the the filmmaking. He was doing books and he was writing and things about cancer. And that was his first avenue into this type of research. And when he started uncovering the vaccine thing, it was through the cancer, through the cancer channels. And so he did two docuseries called The Truth About Cancer, and they were both very successful. And so after he did those two, he decided to go ahead and do one focusing primarily on vaccines. And so that's when what this is. And because I knew him from before and he'd had me on the show and he'd read some of my essays and things like that, he had asked me to be a part of it. And ironically, because you mentioned how I made the video that Robert Kennedy, that I didn't trust him. Ironically, he actually interviewed me on the same day that he interviewed Robert Kennedy, because Robert Kennedy lives here in Southern California. And so they'd gone to interview him first and then they'd come up to my house. But so that's what Ty's deal is. I mean, he's definitely, when he was on our show, I mean, he was very aware of what was going on with the vaccines, and he was very awake, and I don't think he had any kind of trepidation about being against them. But the film does kind of take some middle ground in some of the guests sort of take a middle of the road stance on it, including Kennedy. And the thing that I did in the video that I was saying, that the reason that I didn't trust him is because I've been following him since 2005, when, or not 2005, but that's when he first wrote the article Deadly Immunity, where he was exposing the mercury and the thimerosal, or the thimerosal, mercury containing thimerosal in vaccines. So he was exposing that way back in 2005. And he wrote this article that appeared in Rolling Stone magazine. And it was a big controversy at the time, because he had uncovered through his investigation, not only that this was going on, but that they were covering up the fact that mercury was causing neurological damage in children. And the government was aware of this. This was later exposed in the Dan Burton congressional hearings, and then again by Brian Hooker. So it's been exposed many, many times that they knew that they were putting mercury in the vaccines. They knew that it was causing problems. I mean, they should have known even beforehand, is my thing, is that, of course, they knew prior to putting it in there that this was going to happen, because we know what mercury does to the body. So the fact that he uncovered it and then he exposed it was, you know, it was kind of a big deal. But he's not really taken the thing that sort of bothers me, that I have hesitation about him, is because he hasn't really taken a stance against vaccination, period, or he hasn't taken a stance to support a person's right to choose. Because in each state, there should be a personal beliefs exemption that allows a person to get a job, go to school, do whatever they want to do without having to take a vaccine. But he's never taken that position, that he doesn't believe in vaccine mandates. And what he's taken the position of is this kind of middle of the road thing, where yes, we need to make vaccines safer. We need to take out some of the toxins. Maybe not all of them need to be mandated. You know, he's saying maybe meningitis doesn't need to be mandated. Maybe hepatitis B shouldn't be mandated. You know, so he's taking kind of like this position of being, well, you know, it's not all bad. And I'm very, and he has himself come out and said very on several occasions that he's pro-vax, that his children were all vaccinated, that he was completely compliant with the law. He's never taken the position that he even entertained the idea of delaying schedules and not getting fully vaccinated. And so he's really interested in restoring the public's faith. And this is the kind of, when you get into language and what kind of language is being used to engineer the consent for mandatory vaccines. So what the stance that I'm taking, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I just want to interrupt just for 1 second. That's where you, when I was watching your video last night, that's where you struck the note with me, because yeah, I had questioned that very same issue when he was talking about it. Right. He was talking about vaccines that maybe are for diseases that aren't, quote unquote, communicable. You know, those are the ones he was going against, the thimerosal, obviously. But and even I noticed with De Niro and his little group, you know, they want to challenge whether or not vaccines are safe, but hey, we're not saying we're not for vaccines. Let's maybe do a little bit of changing how they're given. But none of these guys are against them. None of them are questioning the fact that this is really getting us to a point of where you have no choice whatsoever. And here's the thing, we've talked about this next generation of vaccines that are coming, right? You know, the thimerosal at this point, though it's in some current vaccines, when we have these shape-shifting DNA vaccines that they're working on in all these labs now, and all this new genetic therapies, that won't matter anymore, will it? And all of us will already then be of the mindset, no, look, we, you know, vaccines, it wasn't that the vaccines were bad. It was maybe the few things we were putting in them that were causing some issues. So here, careful what you ask for, here is our solution to that problem, right?
Exactly. And I think that, you know, what's been happening lately with vaxxed and with, you know, some of these, with William Thompson, and if you guys haven't talked about them in the show, but the CDC whistleblower who exposed that they were covering up the vaccine, that the MMR vaccine was causing autism and they knew it and all that stuff. You know, and those of us who have been doing the research know that the science has been there for the whole time. And we've been, you know, seeing this all along. And it's not that they would be unaware of that this was going to happen in the first place. They knew it. And then they went ahead and did what they did. And then they covered it up. So they're stumbling over all their frauds. It's like they can't help but to keep tripping over them because there's so many and they've been so blatant about it that it just keeps happening. Like the Merck, I don't know if you heard about the Merck whistleblower. That's another one where the people who were working for Merck, they had written up their findings that the MMR was ineffective. They were talking about the mumps portion of it. That was the part that they had researched. Their findings were that it wasn't as effective. It wasn't producing as many. And when I use the word effective, what I mean is that the production of antibodies, that's how they do trials. It doesn't necessarily mean that it's immunity or it's providing a person with immunity, but that's how they do their trials, is they look for antibodies. So they weren't getting as many, as the results weren't what they were putting out to the public. So they put
this in
their
findings. And there were some outbreaks too, I believe.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And there were some outbreaks. And so they put that out there, and these Stephen Krall and I forget who the other doctor was, wrote up their findings, and Merck just went ahead and just the supervisors just scratched out their findings and said, nope, that didn't happen. We're just going to put what we were saying all along, and that's it. And they went, well, wait a minute, we didn't write that. You guys completely doctored our paper and just completely, you know, and they said, too bad. This is what's going to happen. So those guys have been involved in a lawsuit against Merck for the last few years, trying to expose. And the other thing about Merck is that they stand to lose their license to hold this vaccine, to hold the patent on it.
Poor Merck.
But if these guys win, but see, then you get into like, oh, well, we've been having these so-called measles outbreaks and resurgence of mumps, and they keep blaming it on the the unvaccinated.
Right. Johnny's ruined Disney vacation, remember?
Right, exactly. The whole Disney vacation thing. So the measles, Disneyland mumps hoax, whatever that was going on. But it was,
Gerberger, I don't remember her first name, Gerberger, but she had been at Merck, and then she went to go work for the CDC, or no, vice versa. She had been part of the CDC and was in charge of vaccines, and then went to go work for Merck after that, and then sold all kinds of stock shares.
She was actually involved in the autism study that William Thompson had exposed. She was one of the researchers involved in that, and then she actually appeared before Congress with her findings and said that they didn't have a connection. So she was rewarded for covering up their tracks by getting this job at Merck. Wow. That's how that goes. And that's the revolving door of politics. Like, we know how that works, you know, time and time again. It's always the same, you know, you scratch my back, I'll scratch yours. And that's how that went down. But they stand to actually lose their license. See, I don't think people realize how the implications of how much money they're going to lose if they can't carry the MMR anymore. Right. And so that's a big deal for that pharmaceutical company. So they don't want to let it go. Plus, then they have to admit that they were fraudulent, which means that the public's going to lose their faith in the system. So it's really kind of coming to this where the house of cards is starting to fall. And the public, you know, the public at large might not be aware of all this that's happening behind closed doors because the mainstream media is not covering it, but it's happening. and they're getting exposed. And so what we are seeing now is controlled opposition. And the whole thing with Kennedy, I mean, Kennedy's a big name. A lot of people are going to listen to him. I mean, he's, you know, that's Bobby Kennedy's son, for right. crying out loud. I mean, everybody know, you know, that's a huge, like, that's royalty in this country. And so he's coming out and he's taking this position that vaccines need to be greened, that they need to be maybe scaled back, but he's not taking the position that a person just has the right to make their own decision. And that's where I find where I have mistrust with him, because if people are able to make their own decisions, then the system will just collapse on its own, because the mandates are the thing that keeps it in place. Because once we start stop doing it, when we start to recognize, hey, you know, I didn't vaccinate my kid and she's fine, or I didn't, you know, and my children are okay and they're healthier than the ones who are vaccinated. And people start seeing that, because we see that over and over and over again in families where some kids have been vaccinated and others haven't. I mean, in my own family, I've seen my own kids, my unvaccinated daughter, and she's healthier and she developed faster and all of that. But it's not, I mean, it's not a surprise. If we see it over and over and over again, that's how it goes. So once people start to get that, and they're not being forced to do it, and they can actually wait and make a decision, you know, and have time and not be pressured into it, then the system will collapse on its own. So mandates are what keep it in place. So until Kennedy says that he doesn't support mandates, then he doesn't earn my trust, because, you know, and I don't think he should earn anybody else's, because he's not saying that yet.
Yeah, and I totally fell into the trap of like, oh, it's Kennedy, he's behind us. You know, one of the things that I remember from one of your many shows that I've learned so much from on vaccines and just this twisted, horrible rabbit hole is some of these diseases that we used to get a generation or two ago, actually they found help protect you against other diseases, and mumps being one, wasn't it? Didn't mumps protect against some forms of cancer?
Well, I don't remember about the mumps. Measles does.
Oh, measles. That's what it was. Yeah.
Yeah,
it starts
measles,
with an M.
Yeah, there's actually some studies that were done in the 1960s, I want to say, that were looking into measles as a form of cancer therapy. So actually trying to induce it in a person, because it would reduce, or it would shrink the tumors when someone was infected with the measles. So it had this sort of protective agent. So when... So what's funny is that, you know, some of these diseases that we acquire naturally actually have a purpose, or even like spiking a fever. I mean, fever therapy is something that's been around for a really long time, where when we get a fever, we're really uncomfortable. So we want to suppress that. But that's actually our body's way of, you know, burning all this stuff off and getting rid of the infection.
Right.
And so when fevers are a sign of a very healthy immune system. A rash is a sign of a healthy immune system. Whenever the body can express something out, then that looks, then your body's doing what it's supposed to do. It's saying, this needs to be removed. If your body doesn't know how to remove it, then guess what? It's just going to sit inside you, and it's just going to cause more problems and manifest, you know, deeper and deeper and deeper into your system, which is what we see constantly with the vaccines, because they aren't, especially when they're using live viruses, like in the case of the measles. If you get a vaccine for a measles, on the other hand, you know, you might not express any symptoms outwardly, but you're still a carrier, and you could still pass that on to other people, and you can still, you know, acquire it and not express the disease and then pass it on to other people. So the vaccinated are actually in some cases more dangerous than the unvaccinated. I wouldn't
and
say some, I'd say more dangerous.
Yeah, that is a great point. And you were talking about the herd immunity and how Kennedy had not even mentioned herd immunity in the video you that I watched from you last night. And I didn't know that the measles you actually could spread when you get the injection, but I am pretty certain, wasn't it whooping cough? That's another one that they're warning, that you're shedding the virus for weeks on end after you get the inoculation, where anyone around you is getting exposed to it, correct?
Yeah. Well, when you have a vaccine, particularly with a live virus, you could be shedding it for 2 to 3 weeks. So that's the incubation period that you may actually be spreading it. So their talking point in the public or the mainstream media, what we always hear is that the unvaccinated, or you need to be vaccinated in order to protect the immunocompromised or infants, people that aren't able to get vaccinated for whatever reason. And but the truth is that if you're an unvaccinated person and you contract the measles naturally, well, you know, you're going to stay home. You're not going to be outside kissing babies, right? Right. Cause you're going to know that you're sick. But if you're vaccinated, then it even says this in the vaccine insert that you're actually not supposed to go around cancer patients or immunocompromised or infants for the first 2 to 3 weeks after you've been vaccinated.
Well, that's the thing. You know, I was looking because they're saying now that the kids here in New York, there's one more vaccine that includes the pertussis, DTaP, Tdap.
Yeah.
There's the two of them. And so I started pulling the inserts and looking, and there's a couple of them. There's one from Sanofi and one from, I don't know if it's Merck, Bayer, one of them. There's two different vaccines that are in use right now. So I started reading the inserts, and it said that. It said that specifically, that the kids are going to be, you know, pretty much contagious. And I'm like, wait a second. So this is when we had these whooping cough outbreaks a few years ago up in the Pacific Northwest, and they were trying to blame it on all these. At first, it was, you know, the unvaccinated. And then they're like, well, maybe the vaccine isn't working so well. And I started raising an eyebrow because I was like, you know, again, careful what you ask for. If they start almost admitting that these vaccines aren't working, there's got to be something waiting in the wings. And this is all these new 21st century cures that they've been working on with manipulating DNA and utilizing really crazy genetically modified. I don't know. I mean, it's frightening. It's frightening. So.
So you bring up a good point, because that's where I think that this is kind of going with the Kennedy stuff and the De Niro stuff. It's not about being anti-vax. It's about being safe vax or fewer vaccinations, more effective vaccinations, right? And so they're not just saying like, well, you can just make up your own mind and do it yourself if you want to or not.
And quote unquote safer vaccines. So let's get rid of the thimerosal. Right. And, you know, because that's the one that everybody knows about. And here we're going to do this new digital therapy that was created, you know, using CRISPR. And we'll put this in you and it'll fix you up. Don't worry about
it. Yeah. And that'll fix you up. And then you don't have to worry about it. And then everybody's happy. Right. Because then that's the whole idea, is that they're going to win over the anti-vaxxers or the autism moms and all the people who've been out there fighting and saying, we're going to win you guys over with this, because we've taken all this out and we're taking, you know, we feel your pain. We empathize with your situation. And so they're going to use this kind of language to make the families feel that they're on our side. But we, you know, if you've done any research into the engineering consent, you know, marketing strategies, this is a marketing strategy, because they're coming in, this is a controlled opposition place of, you know, and they're coming in with celebrity, you know, adding celebrity worship to it, because the celebrities who came out truly anti-vax, what happened to them? I mean, they were destroyed. They were demolished. Yeah. I mean, we interviewed Rob Schneider, and he was truly anti-vax. I mean, and he knew what he was talking about.
You interviewed him? I didn't. I missed that.
Oh. I think we did that before we were on UCY, but we might have played the – I might have given you the rerun at one point. I don't know. But, yeah, we did. I interviewed him. Verstein was at work. But, so I interviewed that guy. And he was really bright. And he knew what he was talking about. And he did not take a middle of the road position at all. He was very much anti-vax. And he, for good reason. I mean, he came on the show and he explained why. And he had really good reasons. And he didn't have anybody in his family that was vaccine injured to his knowledge. But he was just smart. And he had done a lot of research. But he was basically, you know, I mean, I wouldn't say it ruined his career. Like, he's still working, but he's definitely not working as much as he was. He's not the big A-list celebrity that he used to be. I mean, he was removed from a State Farm commercial. They took him. He was doing a commercial for them and they fired him. And then he was not added to some of the, you know, everybody knows him as working with Adam Sandler. Some of the films that Adam Sandler didn't include him. So, you know, it's definitely had an effect on his life, and he's been kind of quiet ever since.
That's really crazy that just by having a belief, you know, about something that we really should be questioning from every direction, that you would be completely blackballed and ostracized. And one of the things that, you know, we've kind of traced back on this show is just going all the way back to the biowarfare program that was supposedly ended, you know, back in the 60s
right.
by Nixon. And one of the things that he had stated is they were, quote unquote, inking this deal and ending bio and chemical warfare experimentation was that we were going to maintain a defensive or offensive posture with the development of vaccines to, of course, protect us all and keep us safe from all the boogeymen out there who might be right. trying to hurt us with biological weapons.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and when you look at how it's all come from originally the military-industrial complex, and you look right. at the history of human experimentation and all the other things that have happened, it really is a scary picture. I mean, I have to say that it's taken me a long time, but my mother has finally started to question the narrative. Finally, you know, she's one yeah. of those people that, you know, reads the paper and watches TV. And again, right. I think I even said to you the other day that I was surprised being there for the holiday that she didn't like hand me a clipping from the paper and say, look, look what I, well, you would not even believe it. She did it yesterday. She cut it out of the paper and she handed it to me, showing me what a lunatic Alex Jones is and how everything that we've ever talked about, including 9/11, how it must be crazy because Alex Jones believes it. I was like, oh my God. Just, you know, but I mean, that's the general public. It does that as soon as the narrative has been crafted and pushed out there. And like you said, even using now the celebrity, and that's always been kind of a way to get people to jump on board.
Right.
Yeah, it's very nefarious. So what, how much of a part do you have in this documentary? I'm really excited that that you got to tell your story.
I don't, you know, to be honest, I haven't seen it. So I don't know how much of it they cut. We did a 20-minute interview, and I think that we appeared in the second episode. Part of the interview appeared, but it wasn't, but I don't know if the rest of it appeared later. I haven't actually heard, but yeah, so it was an honor to be a part of it. And I did feel, you know, I was very grateful to Ty for adding me to it. And, you know, he knows my position. He wasn't afraid to say, they don't all have to be middle of the road. You know, some of these people can actually be just anti-vax because they've done the work. So that was kind of cool. I definitely have a lot of respect for Ty, but, you know, I'm not going to say that I agree with everybody who was in the film, obviously.
Now, did he deal with vaccines in general or just with specific vaccines? Because, the Gardasil vaccine, obviously, was one that's had all kinds of issues. And yeah. I covered some of that with the original Gardasil. And then they came out with the Gardasil 9 after they discovered the original Gardasil vaccine was actually making girls more prone to some of the more dangerous cancers. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
The original Gardasil versus the new one. And you had, I don't remember the girl's name.
Sarah,
yes. Yeah. You had Sarah many times, where Sarah had gone through all that horror after that vaccine.
Oh yeah. Sarah had the Gardasil. She had one Gardasil shot because it's done in three, I believe they do it. And it's a 3-part series. And she had the first one, caused her so much damage that she didn't have any others. But that was when she was 13. Wow. I mean, she's in her early 20s now and she's regaining the ability to walk. I mean, she's been paralyzed by it and damaged, you know, just severely. I mean, all immune issues you can imagine. I mean, from allergies and inability to eat just about anything. And I mean, just chronic pain and living, you know, her life on her bed because she can't walk and having to, you know, try and work on that. And I mean, and so weak, not even able to really do physical therapy for a while. So, you know,
What really concerned me about that vaccine is that was the first time that I had run across virus-like particles when mm-hmm. I started digging into it. And that was, instead of utilizing like recombinant proteins and things, this was some sort of synthetic engineered virus-like, not actually a virus particle, where they're messing with the immune system, you know, And anyone who's ever lived through any type of autoimmune disease, and I've had about 20 years worth of coming in and out of different autoimmune dysfunctions and then learning how to fix my immune system to take care of it till another one comes along, you know, I mean, that's a forever thing. And when you start looking at some of these new therapies they're working on, DARPA has this TIPS therapy where they're going to be overwhelming the body with T cells, I think it was, to try and choke out any illness that it might encounter. And this would be a way to combat anything, like when you get an injection for measles, you're getting measles, so your body recognizes it, or chickenpox, or whatever. But this new therapy would be almost like a general antivirus. Like anytime it sees something that it doesn't recognize that it deems dangerous, now it's going to try to kill it. And, you know, we, from a science perspective, we like to pretend that we know so much, but we really don't. And the ones, like my friend allowed her daughter, the first generation of that Gardasil vaccine, she got her vaccinated like a month after they put it on the market because it was such a great new thing. And I'm like, oh my goodness, do you not realize that your daughter now is guinea pig 1.0? And they probably will be paying attention to how she does. Oh, and that's one other thing. And then paying attention to how these patients do after the fact. Much of the time I found that the I believe it's the FDA that approves the stuff. The FDA is allowing the company who put out the vaccine to be responsible for reporting the results. Am I mistaken in that? Or am I correct? I mean, it's like the fox watching the hen house.
Right. Exactly. Grade your own paper.
Right. Grade your own paper. Yeah, here's the answer key.
Results. Yeah, exactly.
And then, you know, trying to even get into that VAERS database, which I've tried many times to decode what it's saying and how, and download all the pieces and parts. You know, they tell you, oh, but they're all safe. And here, look, we have this database for transparency. Go online. You need a PhD to figure out what it's saying. And you need 32 different pieces, and then you have to try and put them all together. And I mean, I've had probably 10 or 12 tabs up at once trying to exactly figure out what's happened and who and how. And it's I still have no idea, to be honest.
Less than 10% of the people, I mean, it's estimated that less than 10% of the people who have a reaction will report it.
Right.
So, I mean, and it's not even.
Or will they even realize it's a reaction? Right.
Right. The ones that even realize they have a reaction will report it. So then you're dealing with a whole bunch of people who don't realize they have a reaction because it's maybe not immediate. Right. Or even in the cases when it is immediate, you know, the doctors can play these Jedi mind tricks on people that don't, that make them kind of not really even realize their own experience. And the, you know, because they've been so trained to recite the narrative that these vaccines are safe and that they're not causing these problems, they're not causing cancer, they're not causing autoimmune, they're not causing autism. They over and over and over again, they're being told this. And you can't, we know in science, you can't prove a negative. So when they're saying that, they just, they don't have the proof really. I mean, it's just like sorcery, you know, it's not, it's just word magic. It's not really, there's no substance behind what they're saying, but because we've been taught to look up to them and to believe them, we do. And we put our faith in that, in these doctors, in the system. And it's not, you know, it's just faith. It's not actually based on any actual science. If it were, they would be able to prove, or, you know, prove that it, well, this is what causes cancer. We know that it's this, so it can't be this, or, you know, they would have some kind of data, but they don't. They just sit there and over all day long say, it's not this, it's not this, it's not this.
Yeah.
And that's not, you know.
Yet there have been studies out there that and researchers who have come out to talk about the contamination in the vaccine lines that they've known all along have been there. Right.
Right.
The isn't that SV40 cancer?
Yeah. The SV40 was found in the polio vaccine. And I mean, it's still in other vaccines, too, which is weird. I don't even, you know, so it's been found many, many times. There's the SV40 is the cancer-causing virus, and because they're screwing around with other animals and DNA in parts, sometimes what they have is a virus that affects an animal, and then they'll inject it into humans, and they don't know if the human is going to be affected by it or not. So they'll just say, well, we don't know, so we're not going to pull the vaccine just yet because this is an animal virus, so it may have no effect at all. And
Well,
or it may have an effect, but it will be past the point that we're collecting data on the side effects. So we just
yeah,
won't
that's
report
what they
that.
hope, right?
Yeah, and that's what they hope, and that is the case with cancer. When something like that, it takes a while for a person to have for it to grow and for a person to large enough that they're being diagnosed with it. So then by that time they've stopped taking data, but they know that SV40 causes cancer, and it was in all these vaccines and that were injected in all these people, and then that whole generation, those baby boomers, we saw the huge spike of cancer, similar to the spike of autism that we're seeing in this generation. So they knew then that was the causing. And then it's not, and SV40, I mean, that's just one of them. That's one of the ones that got exposed. There's tons of them. You know, as I was doing research a while back on MMR vaccine, I found that the one that was circulating right around the time that my son received it actually had it was avian flu. It was a chicken. It was something that was caused by the chicken embryo or that was, that, and because that's how they cultivate these things, you know, in the animals or in their embryo. So it was something that was cultivated in a chicken embryo, and it was a virus that caused cancer in chickens, but it was being injected into people. And so they did a little, they didn't pull it at all. They just did a little mini study and they said, oh, phew, we found that it didn't cause any problems in humans. So we just left it there and didn't bother to recall the vaccines. And they do this over and over again. And then the former head of the American Association of Pediatrics, Dr. Paul Offit, he had worked for a pharmaceutical company in the development of the rotavirus vaccine. And that was found to have a pig virus in it. Same thing. We found it. We're not going to pull it. It's there, but, you know, we don't know. We don't think it's affecting humans. So we're just going to leave it. And they don't, you know, they don't know what the long-term effects of these are, because people aren't expressing these viruses out normally because they're being injected rather than the way you would naturally acquire it.
Right. And I mean, even beyond vaccines, I had dug pretty deep into, this was probably a few years back, I did a few shows on it, this bovine leukemia virus that is in all the milk. I don't know if you've ever heard about any of that, but back when they first found it in the 70s, in Europe, they ended up culling all of the dairy cows to get rid of it. But here we didn't. And we did the same thing. We said, oh, don't worry about it. It can't be passed to humans. And now they're finding it in tumors, this bovine leukemia virus. And they're thinking, uh-oh. And they said back then they didn't really have, you know, precision equipment back in 1978. But now as they're sequencing things, they're thinking, uh-oh, maybe it's possible. And it makes you wonder, and this is such a multi-billion dollar global industry that all kinds of big names are involved in, including Bill Gates. And we haven't talked about him at all, I think. We need to touch on Billy a little bit. But this is such a huge industry. And we now have an executive order. I don't know if you saw outgoing Obama had inked this executive order that pretty much dubbed us as kings of the planet for making sure that we help fight disease. And it's going to be, you know, us vaccinating the world is pretty much what it is. And we addicted ourselves as the ones in charge of that.
Right. Well, lucky us, right?
Well, that's why consent has to go, because we've heard so many different stories about different foundations down in places such as Africa.
Yeah.
Having to give children vaccines by force because the people down there are already onto the fact that something's going on. It's very
disturbing. They've been onto in Africa. I mean, they've been onto it for a while. It was actually, I mean, vaccine injury they were aware of it at first, and it was published in their newspaper. I think Clint Richardson did an article on this a while back, but they were publishing it in their local newspapers that they were having all these vaccine reactions. And then later they do what they like to do when industry is causing damage. They relabeled the disease. So then they redefined it as AIDS. And so, so a lot of people, so we hear a lot about the AIDS epidemic in Africa, but, you know, what's going on? I mean, AIDS is an acquired immune deficiency. So it doesn't necessarily have a virus attached to it. You can have AIDS and not be HIV positive,
Right.
And you can be HIV positive and not have AIDS.
Right.
So because the test itself is dubious, and whether or not it produces, you know, results of a virus that actually causes AIDS is dubious. So what we're seeing in Africa is, I mean, malnutrition. We're seeing people without clean water, and then they're getting vaccinated, you know, at these alarming rates against their will, by the way, because a few years ago, it was even in the Malawi news that they had rounded people up at gunpoint. There were like 200 people that had been rounded up.
Mm-hmm. I remember that.
And I've actually been contacted by people who our show Truth or Talk. I mean, we've had people come into contact with us and say, you know, I'm from Africa. And, you know, this is what's going on in my country. You know, they're being very forceful. They come to our house. You know, people don't want it. And, you know, and they're saying all this. No one's listening to them and no one's reporting on it because then they're afraid to talk about it publicly. But they'll write you a private letter, you know, saying this is what's happening. You know, what you guys are talking about is true. And I mean, we've had that like happen like twice of wow. different people that were from Africa saying that, you know, they were being forced. I mean, it was really intense. Like they're coming to their house, you know, with guns. I mean, we've even seen that here in our country. I mean, there's been, there was one, I forget where it was, but it was somewhere back east, and they had rounded up some people and brought them to the city hall and had them just vaccinated all at once because they were underreported. And then a few years ago, I had this young girl contact me. She was 14, and she was on independent study. She was going through the public school system, but on independent study. So she wasn't taking any classes at the school. She was just going in like once a month to get her work and coming home. And so she hadn't received her her Tdap, the booster shot for the
right.
You know, the and so she the so the school came to her house and knocked on the door, and they had a traveling nurse, and they were going to vaccinate her right at the door. Yeah. And so her mother answered the door. She slammed the door in their face. But and then she later sued them for breach of privacy because they put her on TV basically showing that, you know, she hadn't been vaccinated. So this was like, and they even showed the list of the parents of the houses that they were going to, that they actually put that on camera. This was in Sacramento. This was in a local news station in Sacramento, California. And the school district was Natomas, which is actually, by the way, where Dr. Senator Pan, if people don't know who that guy is, he's the one that was behind the recent mandates here in California, the changes in the laws that now you can only receive a medical exemption to go to school. So Dr. Pan, that was his district, Natomas, where they had gone door to door and doing door to door vaccines. Yeah. So, I mean, but the mom, you know, she, when I spoke to her, because I ended up talking to her because her daughter contacted me and said, you know, oh, this happened and my mom's really upset. You know, what should I do? And so I ended up talking to her mom, and she had a very reasonable reason why she didn't want to do it. She said, you know, a few years ago, they were really pushing this swine flu thing. And I thought that was kind of odd. You know, why are they pushing this so hard? And then she goes, and then, you know, it just seems like every year there's something new. There's a new disease. There's a new thing they want us to vaccinate for. And she goes, and then I read in the paper that most of the people in the whooping cough outbreak had actually been vaccinated, that like 72% of them had been vaccinated. So I thought, well, why am I going to give my daughter this, let her have this vaccine based on, you know, this whole there, because the whole reason that they started the booster shot mandate was because of the pertussis outbreak.
Right.
But then you can't get a single shot. They make you do it in this like, you know, three or four different viruses in one.
Right.
So her response was just, you know, I thought through it logically. I, you know, she didn't come from a place of being an anti-vaxxer. She just thought, you know, I just doesn't make sense to me. And, so, you know, I mean, she probably became one after that, but I mean, at the time I don't know what happened, because then she couldn't talk about it after that when she, cause she ended up filing a lawsuit. So,
and that's pretty much in New York State, that Tdap, the booster for the pertussis. And that's what they're pushing it for seventh grade here.
Well, the pertussis, I mean, the thing that's so funny about that is that that's one of the worst vaccines out there. And they know this is true because it doesn't work. It never, you know, they can't prove for the life of them that it's effective. There was a recent study, the last one I heard about, they were using baboons, and they had given and intentionally infected some of them with pertussis, and to see how well the vaccine was working. And not only were they able to, did the vaccinated baboons get infected when they were exposed to the other baboons, but then they were able to pass it on too. And their claim was, the best that they could come up with was, well, we think that the symptom, the vaccinated ones had fewer symptoms. So their cough was a little less, but they still were able to get it and carry it and pass it on. So, wow. I mean, you know, yeah, I mean, you're taking your chances just for a little bit less of a cough. I doubt it. I mean, why? You know, that doesn't really make a lot of sense.
Well, you know, even that, I think it was the bird flu vaccine. Maybe it was the swine flu, but no, I'm pretty sure it was the bird flu. And they had the, or maybe it was just the flu. I don't know, but they had the intranasal one that they were recommending for children. Do you remember that back a few years ago?
Yeah. Yes.
And when I looked into that, even in just my general research, and this was, I don't know, I'd probably say it was probably 5-6 years ago now, maybe, yeah, probably 5 or 6 years ago. They had even said in the literature then, for someone that wasn't anywhere near as educated now about what's going on, that they could pass it on, and it was called shedding. And then we found later with the, when the flocks started getting infected here in the United States, maybe 3-4 years ago, and they were suggesting that they vaccinate flocks before it started spreading. And that was something that the farmers were actually talking about. Even the farmers know about virus shedding.
Yeah.
So it makes you wonder, how many more of these things? Is it only live virus that's doing this, or these attenuated viruses? These are kind of between, they're not dead, right? Attenuated. Attenuated is just dulled.
Right.
So wasn't there a case of some man in Europe who had been, he had gotten a shot or a, some sort of treatment, or maybe it was even polio years ago, and it had been living in his intestines or somewhere in his body all these years, and he's been shedding the virus everywhere he's gone his whole life. And some big health director came out in, and they had taken a statement in that story and had said that, you know, we, this is, you know, maybe we don't fully understand exactly how this stuff works. Well, ding, hello. They don't understand how probably 90% of this works, at least in a large population, with the number of permutations that we have genetically and biologically across the globe. I mean, they're just watching. It's one big global experiment.
It is. Yeah, it is one big global experiment. And then that happens a lot more than people think, because they aren't looking inside people's intestines to see what they're carrying. And a lot of times, if you get a blood test to see if you have said virus, what it's going to show you is whether or not your titers, that's how they look for the antibodies. So those are either going to be elevated or they're going to be low. If they're low, then it means that you're not immune. If they're kind of in the middle, then that means you most likely you had it, but now you've been able to pass it on. And then if they're high, they assume that it's an active virus. But they can be high. They can be continue to be high, even if it's not an active virus, even if you don't have any expression of it. And so they don't know when they're looking at the blood test whether or not you're carrying it in your intestines, because you might actually, you might have titers for it or you might not. And then one doctor was working with Andrew Wakefield for a while, Dr. Arthur Kriegsman, had invented a pill camera. And it was this
I've talked
camera
about the pill camera. Yeah, it's a pretty awesome tool, actually.
It is an awesome tool, because that's how he was able to find that a lot of the kids that he was treating who had regressed after MMR vaccine had measles in their gut, in their intestines.
Way.
And yeah, so he found it was a good like 30% of them. I mean, it was a large number, because they had come in, because he was a gastrointestinologist, or I think he's still working, but he was a GI. And so a lot of these kids that he was, that he was treating, they had a diagnosis of autism, but they also had all these GI symptoms. And so they invented this camera and they found that they had measles in their gut. Now, I mean, I don't know if you guys can wrap your head around what that would feel like. But I mean, if you had an active rash with red sores on your intestines, and, you know, I mean, how painful, you know, how, you know, what an excruciating experience. And not only that, but then they could, like you said, they also could be shedding it.
And I would assume, just like the other vaccine, I'm pretty certain it was polio, that measles probably could be shed if it were in your...
Measles is one of the worst. It's one of the most infectious, one of the worst vaccines for doing that. It has a really long history of shedding. And so when we hear about these outbreaks, I mean, they're coming from the vaccinated people, folks. I mean, they're not coming from the unvaccinated. Because if you're unvaccinated and you have a normal virus, you're not going to go out in public. You're just not going to be spreading it around. It's going to, that, if it was acquired that way, that would end really quickly. But they, people are going out and they don't know that they have it.
And so, you know, that's why. What doctor have you ever had or ever been to throughout your lifetime of getting these vaccines when you were a child? Did they ever tell you not to get in contact with others or immunocompromised or anything for 2 weeks because you're shedding the virus?
Doctors are, yeah, they never say that. And the reason why is because they don't actually know. I mean, in medical school, they really are only taught the vaccine schedule. That's the only thing they learn. They don't learn what's in them. They don't learn if they work or not. They don't learn the history of them. They hear Jonas Salk cured polio. I mean, they hear basically the same sound bites that everybody hears in the mainstream media.
And
that's
don't
what
they get sales kickbacks? I mean, for so many that are sold, doesn't their group get some sort of money? You know, if they were like a medical group that were using one manufacturer's vaccine, or probably get discounts or whatever. There's financial incentive.
Yeah, well, I think the insurance companies, if you have a pediatrician's office or you have a doctor's office, and 62 or 64% of your clients are fully vaccinated, they'll give you about $400. Blue Shield will give you about $400 per patient. So they stand to make a lot, doctors stand to make a lot of money by getting their, so this is a huge conflict of interest.
Sure, I mean, is.
How can they prescribe, you know, medicine that is needed to the public when they're being given $400, you know, per patient to do so? So they stand to make $80,000 to $100,000 a year off of getting their, most of their patients vaccinated, fully vaccinated. So they have to get them fully vaccinated. So they're going to push not just, you know, a few, but they want you to get them all. And so that's a huge conflict of interest, a financial, and they don't tell you that. They don't tell you anything. And they don't know. That's the other thing. They don't know. And then one thing people have to realize too is we all think that doctors are also rich, but they aren't. Usually when they've come out of medical school, they're deeply, deeply in debt. They have, I mean, they have about, you know, $100,000 in debt once they've finished from all their student loans and everything else.
Well, and don't the pharmaceutical companies help finance, you know, some of the research or the programs or whatever at the universities as well?
Yeah.
You know, and at the different events, you know, they go to all these conferences and stuff. I mean, they're all there. Everybody schmoozes and rubs elbows.
Yeah, they have their hands in everything. I mean, it's crazy how many, you know, places that they find that their reach goes. I mean, even like the Department of Defense. I mean, all these different places like that you wouldn't think, but even like the Department of Defense, when we interviewed, we didn't actually air this interview because the sound was too bad, but we interviewed Stanislav Brzezinski. And Brzezinski was a doctor in Texas that had been treating cancer patients using this type of urine transplant therapy. And it was really effective, and it wasn't causing the same side effects that chemo. But the Department of Defense and different pharmaceutical companies, Bayer and so forth, had hired a team to go around and troll the internet to say that they had used his services and that they had had a bad experience. So they pretended to be patients or family members to try and badmouth him. And, you know, they found out, I don't know how they found out about it, but they, if they went through Freedom of Information or what, but they ended up finding out but I mean, the Department of Defense, like why would they be, you know, what's their involvement in that?
DARPA and vaccines, this whole shape-shifting immune system stuff they're working on now and under the name of protecting us from biowarfare.
But yeah, isn't that crazy? Like, isn't that really strange?
Well, that's what tells me that none of this should be trusted without extreme investigation as to the entire reasons behind it.
Yeah.
The Department of Defense has nothing good for You were little Johnny, you know. I mean, it's they're not looking out for our best interest at all.
No.
This is to be able to weaponize things. And once you, you know, everything's a double-edged sword. Anything that can be considered or sold to you as good also has a dark side to it.
Right.
So I think this is mostly dark side, being sold with psychology.
Right. And that's my point about going back to the Robert Kennedy thing, is that there's a dark side to that. If you're willing to accept vaccines because they're green or greener or better, then you could be opening Pandora's box. And that's where you get into the stuff that you're talking about, you know, when they're doing DNA vaccines and genetically engineered vaccines and all this other kinds of weird stuff that is in development right now. I mean, 200-300 vaccines in development at the moment.
Yeah.
And growing. I mean, they see no end in sight. And
billions of dollars. And guess what? A large amount of our Congress is invested in biotechnology.
Yeah.
You know, one last thing here. We're almost at the end of the show. I can't even believe this is a great interview. I could talk for another hour.
Right.
And thank you so much, because it's so early there. But did you see, I just saw last night that Trump asked the Surgeon General to step down. Now, wasn't he a really pro-vaccine Surgeon General?
He was. Yeah. So I don't know who he's going to appoint. We'll have to wait and see.
Right. This is
he'll get in his place. I mean, you know, we're watching some really weird stuff go down, but, you know, but yeah, he was. I mean, he was a pretty pro-vax. I think he went on Sesame Street and promoted vaccines. I mean, there's no end to their lows that they'll go to promote this stuff, trying to get it to little kids and stuff. It's really gross. But
April, listen, before you go, so give us your website. Is Aiden's?
Yeah.
recovery.wordpress.com, AYDANS. And how long is this? Where can they find the documentary?
The documentary, just go to I think it's go.truthaboutvaccines.com. And it's also on my website. So you can...
All right, guys. All right, April, thank you so much for being here. Thank you for listening. I'll catch up with you tomorrow. Everybody, take care.
Truth on the truth.